Hello and welcome to Best Girl Grip, the podcast that celebrates the women behind the scenes of the British film industry. I'm your host, Nicole Davis. I wanted to start this podcast because it felt like there were lots of roles, be it in distribution, marketing, programming, post-production, or even on a film set, that don't get the attention they deserve. Likewise to the women doing those jobs. I'll be interviewing guests on how they got their start in the film industry, what it is they actually do, what keeps them motivated, and what their ambitions are. Hello, Pod Pals. So I know what you're thinking. Friday isn't release day. I just heard a brand spanking new episode on Tuesday with Delphine Levens. Go and listen if you haven't already. But anyhow, I was doing some editing last night and I realised what a corker of an episode this is. I had a great chat with BFI Network coordinator Cara Davison, who I met quite early on when I joined the BFI and was always very enamoured with her rainbow coloured hair. It's currently green, FYI. Yeah, I was doing some snipping and some amplifying, and I was like, why am I sitting on this episode? Cara gives some great advice about what network are looking for in a short film application, and debunks the belief that they're looking to say no. Cara was also Ben Roberts' assistant at the BFI, and he's currently looking for a new one as deputy CEO. So if you need convincing about what a great opportunity that is, do give this a listen. Basically, Cara is very cool and talks very honestly about her job and how she got here, and is a fantastic role model for someone that doesn't know anyone in the industry and thinks that that might be a hindrance. So here you go. Happy Friday. This is episode 6 of the Best Girl Grip podcast.
I'm from Bournemouth and tried to go to Bournemouth Uni, but they didn't want me.
Oh,
it's fine.
Rude.
Yeah, it was a hard cut to take at the time, but all the better for it.
Okay, and was it a theoretical or a practical film?
It was mixed, so it was kind of half theory, half practical, which was really great because at that time I had no idea what I wanted to do, just that I wanted to do something in film. Mm-hmm. And so it meant that I kind of was able to explore lots of different things during that time.
Okay. And then coming out of that, did you have a better idea of which direction you wanted to head in?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I came out of university very sure that I wanted to be a producer and make films. And then I kind of set my sights on that, and kind of everything I was doing was leading towards that, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of started working more, I guess, within the industry and was like, you know what, actually, producing maybe is not so much for me. And also by that time, I think I'd just been opened up to so many more other things that were an option, because at the time, when you first start, you kind of only really think about making films as a way to be in film. You don't know about all of the other things that go into it, whether that's kind of distribution or programming or funding or whatever it might be.
And what about producing was it initially that you thought interested you?
I just like putting stuff together. Mm-hmm. I love working with filmmakers, but I've never wanted to be a writer or director myself. So producing was kind of the natural fit, I guess. And I was kind of always very organisationally minded and could kind of put things together. And I think I'm quite good at finding what's really great about someone's work. So that was kind of quite early on. I could like work with the people I was with and be like, this is really great, let's do something with this, and kind of push them forward on it too.
And what was your first job in film?
My first job in film, I don't know if you can technically call this in film.
It was quite
much. Yeah, it was while I was studying, and at the time we were just, me and another student was kind of thinking about, well, we're learning all of this stuff, like what can we do with it to make money, basically. Mm-hmm. I was kind of very aware of the fact that if I was going to do any unpaid work, I needed to do it whilst I was at uni and I had relatively stable accommodation. So we started doing kind of like promo videos for just anyone who would let us, basically. And started off that was unpaid, and then gradually we kind of got better and would be paid for it. And that was kind of, I was doing camera work and editing and sound, and it was very sort of the two of us just kind of doing everything that we could. And so we do them for random stuff, like we did one for a fertility clinic and I had to film them like artificially fertilizing an egg with sperm, which is mad.
With is it like turkey based, I think?
It's a lot more high tech than that. And it's got this mad machine that they do it, and it's like obviously hugely magnified, and so you can literally see them put the sperm in the egg. It's crazy.
Like a little tadpole.
Yeah, and they're just like popping it in, and you're like, that's a baby.
Oh my God.
Potentially.
Yeah.
It was mad. So yeah, did a lot of that for random people.
And just how long out of university was that?
That was kind of all through university. Okay. So kind of as soon as I was able to kind of take the kit out and knew enough to be able to put that kind of thing together, we were sort of immediately like, well, let's just do it. Because we were always very sure that once we left university, that was it. Like, there wasn't going to be anyone kind of helping us. And so we had to help ourselves as much as we could up until then. And so that hopefully once we left, we would be able to do something. We'd have kind of enough skills or whatever that we could then do. So then after uni, I kind of spent some time doing some kind of content producing and little bits like that across kind of anything again that I could, I guess.
That's quite a high level of awareness that I know that you sort of will have to present skills, you'll have to be able to like do stuff. I don't know, like, what is that something you've always had or something that you like learn at uni?
Yeah, I think I've always been quite I've been very aware of the fact that I've never known anyone who works in film ever. So, and I didn't have like even a member of my family who like loved film and could teach me about old film or anything like that. So it was all very much like I was very sure that if I was going to ever do anything in film, it would be off my back. And so as soon as I kind of had anything at my disposal that I could use, I was using it. And I've always just kind of been quite like that and just been very much like make the most of what you've got around you because you're not going to have it. And I was very conscious of that fact that once we left uni, we wouldn't have that kit and we wouldn't have the same kind of, I guess, like stability underneath us.
And from that job, what was the next thing?
So then from there, like I said, did a bit of content producing and then my first, I guess, kind of like legit industry job was assisting at Creative England. From there, assisting at BFI, and now where I am now.
And what were you assisting on at Creative England?
So I was the assistant to the director of content there, and so he was working across kind of film, games, TV, and I was essentially doing his diary and just kind of again learning as much as I could while I was there. The office that I worked in was very small, but there was people there who were working in film, so I was just kind of soaking up everything they were doing and kind of offering up anything I could to them to get involved.
Yeah, and was that your first kind of introduction to sort of the public fund side of
it? Yeah, yeah.
And you kind of, that really spoke to you, you sort of love that?
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of, it's an amazing thing really to have this money that, what I love about public funding is you're not kind of chasing, I guess, the bottom line and you're not sort of living and dying by whether your film makes it or not. You have, like, you're in a very privileged position that you have money to be able to make films that otherwise may not get funding, and that's just kind of a really exciting place to be in, to be able to give people that opportunity and not have to worry so much about, you know, whether their film breaks the box office.
And from Creative England, you came straight to BFI?
Yeah, so then I was at BFI and I was an assistant in the film fund to Ben Roberts and the senior execs, and again, that was incredible. I learned so much in that role because the beauty about being in the BFI and the film fund specifically is there's just so much around you. There's so many different aspects of the industry literally just right there in front of you at your fingertips that you can kind of start getting to know about. And I just kind of immerse myself. Like I said, I'm very much kind of, I'll make the most of what's around me. So I'll want to talk to everyone and I want to see what they're doing. And it just kind of opened my eyes up to so much more of the industry that I never knew existed.
What was the biggest thing that you say that you learned?
I guess I learned quite early on to not pigeonhole myself. And I feel like I had been doing that previously when I was very set on being a producer.
Right.
And kind of everything I did was focused around that. And as soon as I sort of let that go and opened myself up to other opportunities, it was just, I found I was just kind of learning so much more and I was challenging myself so much more in things that I just wouldn't have normally done if I had just kept thinking in that kind of one-track mind.
The film fund seems to me like a really like supportive group of people.
Yeah.
And I wondered, do you have like a mentor specifically, or have you had, is there someone that you kind of go to for career support?
No, I've never had like a formal mentor or anything like that. Like I said, I never knew anyone previously. And so I've just kind of been, I soak up a lot. So the beauty of being an assistant, and why I will always recommend to anyone that a great first job in film is an assistant, is that the people you're working with and assisting are doing like all this amazing stuff that you can just kind of just soak up, learn about, and then, you know, when you have a bit of downtime with them, ask them about it and ask them any like stupid questions. Mm-hmm. Then kind of, I suppose the great thing about the film fund is, like you say, it is really supportive, and so I have kind of, there's a lot of people around me that are really open to that if I want to kind of ask them about how this works, or maybe ask them to kind of give me some advice on something, they are really open to that.
And so now you're the network coordinator for BFI Network.
Mm-hmm.
For those that don't know, what do they do? Because it's undergone quite a lot of changes this year as well. So
yeah.
A bit about that.
BFI Network is the part of the film fund that looks specifically after new talent, and that includes writers, directors and producers, and we support them in funding and also professional development activity. We're based all across the UK, so we've got talent execs in England in kind of regional hubs, and then we've also got people in Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales as well. So it's kind of a really joined up way of kind of supporting talent, and the way that it's kind of been set up in the kind of last year has been kind of the first year of the new setup, is that it means that we can be a lot more reactive and do a lot more outreach in the specific regions and kind of see what filmmakers need where and where we can kind of help and facilitate that, I guess.
What do you love most about the job?
What I love most about it is I'm in a position where I can kind of give people an insight into the industry. I think because I came from not knowing anything about the industry, I'm always super keen to try and tell anyone anything about it.
Yeah.
And I think it can be really difficult when you sort of, I totally get that from the outside, somewhere like the BFI can seem so intimidating, and the film industry as a whole can just seem like this bubble that is really difficult to break into.
Mm.
And I guess what's kind of most important to me about what Network does is that we're really trying to kind of open the doors and kind of get people in who otherwise may not have felt that this was a place for them.
So speaking of myth busting, what would you say is the biggest misconception?
I guess this is quite Network specific.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is kind of a bit of, I don't know, I guess there's something around people assuming that we kind of are only looking for the perfect film in an application.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case. We get kind of so many applications through, and what we're looking for in an application is not necessarily the perfect film or the perfect team. We're looking for like a spark of something that we can sort of see needs taking to the next level and needs support to do that, and that's where we can help. I think it can be quite difficult looking at our application process and seeing it as quite intimidating. When really, if you kind of fill it out and you do something wrong, we're not going to decline it based on that. We're going to come back to you and talk to you and try and kind of figure out a way that this can work. And I think perhaps maybe people may feel that that's not what we want to do, and you know, we're too busy for that. But obviously we're busy, but we always want to make sure that your interaction with us, I guess, is actually useful and you learn something. And, you know, even if perhaps your project doesn't get funded, hopefully you've still taken something from that experience. And I guess that we are trying to be as much of an open door as possible.
What do you look for in a short film?
Golden question.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for me, it's just something different. And I know that that's so hard to come by yourself, and you can't like kind of sit down to write a script and be like, right, I'm going to write a script that's different. It's not really, it's not much of a starting point. But I think when I'm kind of watching shorts or I'm reading scripts or looking at places or whatever it might be, I'm looking for that kind of little bit of originality that you're like, right, this is why this filmmaker wants to do this, and this is why they're making whatever that project might be. This is kind of their thing and their vision and their voice or whatever it might be. That's kind of what you're always looking for. And I mean, also just something that's kind of brave and succinct and makes sense. And I think a lot of people will try and squeeze so much into a short film when actually keeping it simple and relatively just short and succinct is the best way a lot of the time.
Where do you see your career going?
I have no idea. I really don't know. I think I've been doing a lot of reflection lately and thinking about what kind of, yeah, exactly, and what like little Cara would be thinking of where she is now.
Yeah.
She would be honestly amazed. Like I grew up in like a kind of like a single parent on benefits like background, and so when I kind of decided I wanted to do film, it was very much like, I mean, yeah, good luck. Like, how's that ever going to happen? And I knew that. And I knew that, like, I had no one around me and I was kind of the first person in my family to go to uni and all that kind of thing. And so it was always very much like, I mean, great, have fun, go try that, but...
But you don't know that path, you haven't seen it set out.
Exactly, and I was also very aware that it just might never happen. Mm. But that's what spurred me on, and it was kind of wanting to not have a life in the same way, I guess, and sort of make my own way and figure it out on my own. So then when I kind of try and think again to the future now, I'm just like, well... Who fuck knows? Like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got so many kind of interests within the film industry that that's what I'm kind of just enjoying right now. I'm kind of in a place where I can learn about so much, and I'm all for kind of learning about different aspects, whether it be distribution or exhibition or programming. And it's like, one day I hope I'll have something that combines all of my interests, I guess, in one. But also I'm kind of really happy to, like, you know, do this for a bit and then do something a bit different and then do this. And
well, I guess that's a good jumping off point because you mentioned programming. So you have a very exciting side hustle in the form of the Forever Young Film Club. So how did that come about and what exactly do you do with that?
Yeah, so it came about kind of, honestly, so luckily. It was essentially another girl, Kim, who at the time was also working at BFI. She knew a lot of the same people as me, but we didn't really know each other. And I'm quite like, all my friends think this person is really cool. I probably will think they're really cool as well, so I should meet them. Yeah. So I was just like, oh, hey, do you want to go for a coffee? Which I always find really awkward because I don't drink coffee. And so I'm always like, technically a juice, maybe some water.
Can I go for some water?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have the same ring, but, you know, we'll start normalising this guy. I just want to go for a cup of water. But anyway, I was like, you know, let's it'd be great to, like, have a chat. And so we sat down. And we're just kind of talking about everything, sort of how we got into film, what were our interests, that kind of thing. And it kind of came up in it that we were both really interested in exploring programming a little bit more. And had kind of thought about maybe starting something up outside of our jobs and doing something in programming and just didn't really know where to go with it. And then weirdly, she was kind of like, oh yeah, so me and my friend had been thinking about doing something. How do you feel about teen and coming of age films? And it's like, I could have sat down with anyone who said any genre of film, but they happened to say a genre of film that I fucking love. And, like, I've watched so many, you know, amazing coming-of-age films and absolutely terrible ones as well. And it was just kind of, it was just perfect, really. And it was kind of, it just happened. And I just kind of look back on that and I'm just like, I was just so lucky. And now that was, like, a year and a half ago. And so... What was the other part of the question?
Well, just how did you set it up? So, yeah. Programming, I'm not sure that people, like, you know, obviously you go to a cinema, you sit down, you don't realise that someone's had to, I don't know, get the rights for that, or pay a fee to get the venue involved, or whatever it is. So how did you know where to even begin?
I mean, luckily, the part of the film, the BFI that Kim worked in was kind of a programming site, so she'd been, in a similar way that I'd been kind of osmosising in the film fund, she'd been doing that in that side and kind of learning a lot. And we kind of knew of Deptford Cinema, which is a community-run cinema, and essentially if you volunteer there, you can get the chance to programme stuff, and it's a really good way to kind of start learning how that process works. Yeah. So that's where we started off doing our screenings, and I mean, still screen there now, it's such a lovely little venue. And there's kind of... And basically just had to learn about licensing, had to learn about kind of audiences, and obviously are still very much learning now. We're still in, like, early days of it. We've
done things.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of obviously kicking off in the new year, hopefully gonna do lots of exciting stuff. But yeah, it's kind of just something, it's just so lovely to have something that's separate to work but is still in film, because that's all my life.
Me too.
Yeah, and with two other women who, like, absolutely love that pocket of film as much as I do. And it's just really fun. And it's so nice to just kind of do something that's totally off your own back. And you look at it at the end of it, like, kind of, you know, maybe when you've just done screening and loads of people are having a great time and love the film. And then afterwards you're just like, great, that was just because we decided to do it. And that was it. You know, no one was... Yeah, we just did it. And it was, it was amazing. And we've kind of already learned so much doing it. It's a really lovely community of the film industry as well. I feel like there's so many really brilliant...
Is that because you're targeting, like, younger people? Like, what is the community made up of?
I feel like it's just kind of... It's a lot of people who are not shy about loving teen films, because so many people will just kind of feel a bit embarrassed or like it's not cool, it's not, maybe it's not worthy enough. And that's obviously what we're really trying to break down, and we're really trying to say, look, there's nothing guilty about loving these films. They're works of art. Not all of them, obviously. A lot of them are brilliant.
They still have value.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's just so nice to kind of be in a space where everyone feels that way, and you're not going to kind of, no one's going to be putting anyone down because they think Mean Girls is a total classic, and you know, it is a classic.
Absolutely.
And no one's going to kind of put you down for that opinion. Right. And yeah, it's just kind of, it's just fun. It's just lovely.
What's your dream film to program?
Tricky. I think, interestingly, the film that we kind of, because whenever we're programming something, we're always like, oh, you know, we want to all agree on whatever the film is. And the first film that we all agreed on, like, simultaneously was Heathers. And Heathers is one of my all-time favourite films. I absolutely love it. But then, obviously, last year, there was kind of the big re-release with Arrow, which was amazing. It was brilliant. So we definitely can't do Heathers anytime soon. That's kind of...
another 10 years.
Yeah, that's been done for now. But I don't know. I guess, obviously, a big milestone for us will be kind of, I guess, being able to do like a preview of a film coming out, like that would be amazing. That's something that we really want to do. But I mean, there's just so many bangers. I really want to screen Now and Then, which is,
yes,
have you seen
Gabby
it?
Gabby Hoffman.
Yeah.
Oh my god, yes,
there's
I
so
love
many
it.
Of them. It's like Gabby Hoffman, Christina Ricci's in it.
Yeah.
Oh god,
yeah. I
watched Thora Birch.
Yeah, that's it.
So good, yeah. But it's like it's so hard to get hold of anywhere.
Mm.
I think there's kind of maybe some old VHSs on eBay of it, but I don't have anything that plays VHS anymore, sadly.
Yeah, that's true. With old films, how does you have to presumably find like a reel or a digital version?
Yeah, so I mean, it depends where you screen. So Depth of Cinema, for example, is just kind of DVD or Blu-ray,
okay.
Super basic, but. Can't find a DVD or Blu-ray Now and Then, so can't screen it there. But you know, most places will kind of have that, or they'll want a DCP or whatever it might be. Yeah, no, I'm desperate to do that. So
big film
on the hunt.
I love how it, I don't know, like, because it was like 90s.
It is,
so but there's just like, I don't know, there's just such a cool girl gang, and like,
it
they
is.
Don't give a bus, and it's like running around their bicycles.
Exactly, it's such a lovely film. I love it so much. And it's got like so many Stand By Me vibes. I love Stand By Me, like, don't get me wrong, I fucking love it. But this is like Stand By Me with girls.
Mm, which
great.
Is even better.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
Exactly. So yeah, that's a dream one for me.
But you were speaking earlier about how you kind of wanted something that would encompass all your interests. It's sort of programming where maybe you would like lean towards in the future, or like, what would that look like?
Potentially. I mean, I guess when I say encompass all my interests, it's kind of something that's so important to me is making people feel that film is accessible and that they feel kind of seen by film. And so you can do that through programming, and you can do that through new talent, which is obviously where I'm working now as well. And it's kind of, I guess, like, if you've had experiences where you've been sat in the cinema and you've seen something for the first time, like, I think, like, the first time I saw, like, Mad Max in the cinema, I just kind of cried, because it was, like, seeing, like, a female role doing this, like, hardcore action film. It's just so emotional, and it just makes you feel so happy, and I guess you're kind of sharing that with the other people in the room, and that's kind of the feeling that I want to give people. And I guess whether that's through facilitating people making films or screening films, or whatever else, you know, I end up. That's kind of just so important to me. It's kind of that collective shared experience. Film has the power to kind of really hit you.
It's potentially coming from a position of privilege, but I think sometimes you don't even realise that something's missing until, yeah, you see it on a big screen, and you're like, this is something that I haven't seen.
Yeah, actually, because it can really creep up on you in, like, weird times. I remember seeing the Ghostbusters remake, which, like, it's not a perfect film. It's got some stuff going on, but there's, like, the scene in it towards the end where they're, like, fighting the ghosts. Again, I'm just, like, weeping away. I'm a very easy crier, because I'm just, like, this is so sick. Like, it's fucking Ghostbusters, and they're women, and it just makes me so happy. And I just want to make other people really happy in that way as well.
Oh, Cara. obviously balancing a side hustle like the From a Young Film Club with pretty full-on day job, how do you balance your time?
It's something that I'm still trying to figure out, I guess. I think I'm quite good at sort of kind of being like, you know, this is what I do at work, and then I'll make sure I put aside time to work on the film club as well. But also we're really relaxed with each other. We're kind of very aware that obviously we've all got full-time jobs as well, and a lot of the time they need to come first. And so if one of us is perhaps like not able to do something that week, like that's totally cool. And I think it's just really understanding who you're working with. But then equally, I guess I'm always wanting to do more, and I go home sometimes and I'll just be kind of scrolling through Netflix trying to decide what to watch. Mm. And I'm kind of, part of me is like, well, if there's nothing that you want to watch, don't watch anything, just go do something else.
Sure. But then you're in the mindset to like watch something. I find that, like, you know, you carve out, I often like carve out 2 hours to be like, right, that's going to be watching.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like always disappointing if you like haven't got something.
No, totally. Out. Or I'll feel like guilty that I've not watched a film, or I'll feel guilty that I've not watched a new film, and I've just decided that I'm going to kind of rewatch To All the Boys I've Loved Before again.
Yes, I watched it like three times in one weekend.
Oh, it's actually. I mean, I don't care to admit how many times. More than three. Three enough. But it's just, again, a film that just makes me so happy. And it's kind of, you know, I think you've just got to be kind to yourself, you know. If you want to go home one night after work and you don't have the capacity to work on whatever it is, and you don't want to kind of maybe get into like an intense film that's going to broaden your mind, just watch To All the Boys I've Loved Before again. Do it. Be nice to yourself, because things are so mad and busy so often, you really do have to take that time.
I feel like managing my own time is definitely something I've like only recently come to like learn actually how to do. Like, you know, like you're younger and you sort of, you get your first maybe like office job and it's like 9 till 6, and like you have to show up at like 9 on the dot,
yeah,
and like you can maybe leave at 6 on the dot. Whereas I feel like there's a bit more flexibility now to be like, well, as long as I get the work done, and, you know, giving yourself an hour lunch break or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. I think you've got to be confident in that you are someone who can manage your own time. Because some people can't, and again, that's fine, and they need kind of a lot more sort of help in that. But if you are someone who can manage your own time, I think, yeah, it's just being confident in that you're not taking on too much, or that you're giving yourself time to do what you do need to do, and that you're, you know, obviously trying not to burn out. And that is kind of, I think, something that's so common in this industry especially, is that people will just absolutely work themselves to the bone.
Is that because it's a creative sector, and there's sort of, I don't know, less boundary, like you can do what you like, you can do it at home, you can
kind of, I guess, so it's kind of creative, and it is also competitive, because so many people are kind of like trying to do sort of a lot of different things in film. And, you know, you can, some people I think will kind of be really competitive, and other people will kind of be fueled on by their peers and that kind of thing. But whichever way that is, it can kind of be sort of subconsciously constantly driving you to do that extra thing and say yes to that other thing, even though maybe you should have not, and you should have done something else with that time, or should have just not done anything with that time and just relaxed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm someone who kind of really values the time I have on my own, and that's kind of the time that I will really use to kind of recharge and sort of sit back and think about where I'm at and what I'm doing. I'm trying to kind of be a lot more reflective and a lot more sort of non-prescriptive, I guess. I think it's really easy to get wrapped up in like, oh, you need to do this, or you should be doing this. And it's like, well, actually, no, what can I do?
Yeah.
What's going to make me happy?
Do you like going to the cinema on your own?
Of course.
I love it.
I love it too. And I really can't understand people who don't go to the cinema on their own.
Yeah,
like,
well, I heard someone the other day say that like they were afraid to.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you're missing out on like such a lovely experience.
And I get, you know, there's like a social, I guess, embarrassment about it, but you don't talk to people in the cinema, so it's the perfect place to go on your own.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's the worst thing to do. Like, when someone says, like, oh, let's go for a catch up, and then don't go to the cinema, because you have to
Exactly. You can't catch up in the cinema. So it's like, it's actually the perfect solo activity. I mean, obviously, afterwards, when you're like burning to talk about it, it can be like a bit frustrating, and I'll be kind of messaging my mates and being like, have you seen this? Can we talk about it? But no, I love going to the cinema alone. I love going to the cinema with friends. I always love going to the cinema. anytime, anywhere.
Yeah. I quite appreciate the downtime afterwards, though, to like let something sink in. Because often, especially with social media, I feel like you're forced to have an opinion on something straight away and then almost like commit it. So when you go with someone, you're like, you have to be like, oh, yeah, this is what I thought about it as soon as you're walking out. Like, did I like it? Like, how did it affect me?
That's true. And there's definitely some films that do really require that. Mm. There's some films you'll come out and you'll be like, wow, that was fucking terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of kind of films that you will come out and you'll be like, I have no idea how I felt about that. I need to just kind of sit on it and mull it
process.
Exactly.
What is something that you've seen recently and you think is undervalued and you want to shout that / spotlight?
Yeah, I mean, I recently watched, it's not a recent film, it's called Fat Girl and it's from the 90s. And it's this French drama directed by Catherine Breyer, and it's mad. I kind of saw it at this random, like someone was putting it on at Genesis, and I went along, and I think it was kind of like a Saturday afternoon or something, and it was like one of those days where it's really sunny out, and so it was a perfect day to spend in the cinema if you're like me and hate the sun. And I just went in and was kind of like, obviously the title Fat Girl, I was like, great, yeah, this is up my street, I want to go watch that. And it was kind of a coming of age film as well, so it's ticking a lot of boxes already. And it's something I'd never heard of or come across, but it's brutal, it's mad. It's kind of these two teenage sisters are on their kind of summer break, and the younger one, who is the titular fat girl, is kind of obsessed with losing her virginity, but in a very sort of nonchalant, I don't care who it is way. And then she's got this older sister who's very stereotypically beautiful, thin, all of that. Mm-hmm. I guess the opposite of what the younger girl sees herself as. Yeah. And is kind of also having her own sort of summer of sex, I guess, in a way.
Lucky them.
Yeah. Well, maybe watch it before you think they're lucky. And it just kind of, it's like, it starts off like kind of quite warm and sweet, and then it just like, it just goes places that you would never expect it to go, and it gets really dark. I think that's kind of one of the last times that I can remember like audibly gasping in the cinema at something that happened. It like really like shocked me.
Uh-huh.
I was like, fuck, I didn't see that coming, bloody hell. And again, one that I left the cinema and was like, did I like that? I don't know. Like, it was so unexpected. It took such a swerve. But yeah, I've decided I love it.
And more people should
see
it.
And more people should see it, absolutely, because it's sick.
And seek it out.
In both ways.
And who is a woman that works behind the scenes of the film industry that you think is doing awesome things?
I was thinking a lot about this, actually, because, I mean, there are so many women who are kind of really smashing it right now. But someone who I think is kind of behind the scenes in every sense is Rena Yang. So
yes, she's on my list.
Is she?
Yeah, that's so cool.
She's so cool. And she's an amazing DOP, and she's kind of done loads of sort of shorts and ads and music videos, and I think she's kind of moving into kind of bigger stuff now.
I think she's working on a Netflix series at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And her work is just sick. And she did this music video for Vince Staples, which is so cool, and her work is so cool in it. And she just seems like just such a cool woman as well. I've kind of been to a couple of talks with her that she's been kind of talking about, like, her career and her way in and that kind of thing. And she just seems really cool girl who's doing really cool work, and I feel like more people need to sort of know about her and see what she's doing and hire her to make your sick films.